Thanks very much, Dave. Lots of good information there. Certainly any conversation that I've had with any of you folks in the last many years has always included the topic of Cigar Lake, so we're very pleased to have with us today Grant Goddard, who's the general manager of the Cigar Lake project. Grant has been with Cameco since 07. And let me preface Grant's comments by saying we are all anxious to see a new timeline and a new CapEx estimate. But before we can share that new information, we have to get the mine dewatered and get back underground. Once we have a good look at the underground conditions and bring a lot of that information back to the planning table, we will generate a new timeline and a new CapEx estimate. And when we have confidence in that new information, we will certainly share it with you and the market at large. So with that, I'll turn the podium over to Grant.
Thanks, Bob, for that kind introduction, and thank you for the last statement as well. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. As Bob said, my name is Grant Goddard, and I have the pleasure of being the general manager of the Cigar Lake project for Cameco. As you know, Cameco operates the Cigar Lake project on behalf of the joint venture that's owned by Cameco, Arriva Resources, Idemitsu, and TEPCO. And today I look forward to the opportunity to bring you up to date on the project, our challenges, our progress, and our successes. Over the next 30 minutes, we'll take a few minutes and look at the background surrounding the project, as well as giving you an update on the status today. We'll spend time focusing on the challenges we face, our strategies, our action, our progress, and our successes in addressing them. And I'll close by looking at what's next for us in terms of this important and exciting project. With over 200 million pounds of reserves, this project's an important component of Cameco's portfolio of resources, and I think Jerry underlined that earlier in his talk. With an average ore grade of over 20%, Cigar Lake is the world's second largest high-grade uranium deposit next to MacArthur River. And as Bob noted, to a question I get a lot, mine remediation is the key to defining a potential start date. And as we'll discuss, we're about to enter that phase of the project. So projecting a possible production start date today is far too early at this point in time. As we know, Cigar Lake's deposit lies about 450 meters below the surface at the unconformity between the basement rock and the underlying overlying Athabasca sandstone. The surrounding rock, very much like Dave has described overall in the Athabasca Basin, is weak, it's highly fractured, it's water saturated, and it poses significant engineering challenges to ensure ground stability, control groundwater, and limit radiation exposure to workers. So the challenges we have at all of our deposits, both operating and on the table right now, like Cigar, are similar. So we have a challenging deposit. It's challenging to develop. It's challenging to mine. For this reason, the mining strategy has been to develop the mine in the much tighter basement rock that's not generally water-bearing. Bulk freezing of the ore body would take place on one level, with mining of the ore using our jet boring system, or JBS, to take place on another level. Once the ore is removed, it will be piped to a separate processing area underground. This area will include a grinding mill to crush the ore, thickening tanks, and powerful pumps to move it to surface. A very similar model to MacArthur River and the success we've had there. As you can see here on this diagram, a strategy has been in place to separate the processing area, and I hope I hit this button right, just in this area, from the northern area in case of a high water inflow. Watertight bulkhead doors were designed into the plan, which could be closed, thereby separating the two areas. So construction began on the Cigar Lake project in January of 2005 and was about 60% complete when a fall of rock occurred in October of 2006. And that ultimately resulted in the flooding of the underground development that had been completed to that point in time. Cameco immediately put in place a well-planned remediation program to plug the inflow from surface and ready the project to return underground. Bob mentioned I've been with the company a couple of years. It'll be 2 years, October 1st. So I joined the company when that program was getting on the ground, drilling was taking place, and activities were going pretty strong in terms of remediation. Surface construction did not stop during that period of time, but we very much focused the projects that we were taking on to ensure they supported remediation and necessary future requirements. We completed the remediation of the 2006 inflow in early 2008, and we were prepared to dewater and re-enter the mine. Mine dewatering started in July of 2008. It was on July 1, and shaft remediation was proceeding very well when there was a sudden increase of water flowing into the mine. The rate of inflow exceeded our treated water discharge limit, and we chose to suspend the dewatering work and allow the mine to refill. That was on August 12, 2008. The dewatering was conducted in accordance with a well-designed plan, and that plan recognized the possibility of an inflow. It had been reviewed by third parties, it had been reviewed within our own organization, with the CNSC and relevant provincial authorities. And it should be recognized that when we look back on this, the 2006 inflow, we knew where that was. We, in fact, stood there and saw the rock fall, and I think you saw a picture earlier on the slide. The 2008 inflow, when it occurred, we did not know where the inflow source was. One thing we did know was that the source was not anywhere that we'd been working. So our first step after the August 2008 inflow was to locate the source. And among many tools we used, the remote operated vehicle, or ROV technology, was an invaluable component and has been all through this year as well. And you can see a picture of it in the slide. Excuse me. Hopefully we go backwards here. Just here on the bottom left, the ROV, and to the far left is a picture of the ROV inside what I call its doghouse or garage, so with a tether above it. The ROV technology really became an invaluable tool. We used many different tools to determine where the source of the inflow was, but ultimately, because the mine was flooded and we wanted to be able to be active underground, the ROV became our arms, legs, and eyes. Now, a plan was assembled once we had located the inflow, which we found on the east side of the 420 level. And on the right-hand side of the slide, you can see a plan view of the 420 level. Their shaft one is on the left-hand side of the picture. And you can see the drift heading off towards the east and then off towards the north. The inflow feature is located just on the east side, and there's a small picture of it here. It was probably originally in the order of a couple of centimeters. And with water inflow, as you can see in the picture, this was taken at the inflow locations on the back of the drift, so on the ceiling, if you would, or the roof. Initially, a small crack infilled with clay, with sand. As water pressure and flow started to take place, it washed out. And what we're left with is about a 15-centimeter, about a 6-inch feature that exists on the back of the drift. So a plan was assembled to seal the inflow on the east side of the 420 level, and it was intended to use, and we did, a remotely installed bulkhead and the placement of concrete and grout into the tunnel and the inflow feature, a plan that we're very well advanced on today, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. I want to come back to the status of the project and explore the remediation work we've been doing, but first I'd like to spend a few minutes focusing on what else we've been doing in the project to assure the success. Over the past 2 years, Cameco has overhauled our governance and our organizational structure. We put a clear focus on improving safety culture. We've upgraded our quality management program, enhanced our technical knowledge and competence. We've set out and we've implemented a clear water management strategy for the Cigar Lake project. We've worked hard to improve our relationships with our regulators and our other stakeholders. And most importantly, we focused on saying what we were going to do and then going out and doing it. And that's what I really want to talk about in the next number of slides. In 2007, Cameco, as part of our organizational changes made across the operations group, made changes in the governance and corporate oversight of the Cigar Lake project. A major projects division was created with the responsibility of bringing Cigar Lake into production. This change separated Cigar Lake from producing operations to assure a clear focus on the unique challenges of the project. Clear accountabilities were established Those included clear linkages to corporate oversight with expertise in safety, health, environment, quality, and technical competence. Within the Cigar Lake organization, we've integrated technical governance into our management team. Our chief mining engineer and our chief geologist sit as part of our management team, even though they directly don't report to me. They are a part of our team. We've also clearly defined roles and linkages between engineering, construction, and commissioning. And our linkages to contractors, who are a key component of our team, have been strengthened and lines of communication and accountability clarified. With respect to safety culture, we've carried out all of our remediation activities without significant safety, health, or environmental incident. I'm very proud of our team, as remediation activities involve both construction, but in many cases, and the ROV is a good example, in many cases, very non-routine activities, some activities you can't even predict, depending on how the ROV was working, what might occur the next day. So all of those activities can involve higher risk, and we've carried them all out without incident. Our focus on safety culture is a fundamental component of how we run the project. In a real hands-on way, our entire leadership team is involved, and this includes every Cameco employee. It includes every contractor on site. In fact, our safety culture is really driven by our team members and our contractors. They openly share best practices, and they help each other improve. And I don't actually see that in my entire career in very many operations, particularly contractors, helping each other. A cornerstone of our safety and quality culture is risk-based planning and decision-making. We use whole points that represents key points in the project where prerequisites have been defined that must be satisfied to allow activities to proceed. Another key element that Cameco has implemented is our corrective action protocol, which assures continual focus on addressing action items and reducing time at risk. And the CNSC, in their recently submitted commission member document, this is for our November 6th hearing, which is coming up, made a comment, and I quote, "Senior management are sincere in their efforts and are walking the talk on safety culture," unquote. An example of risk management approach is the use of readiness reviews. We identify all the steps involved in the activities and the contingencies necessary to assure risks are addressed. So when we are ready to proceed with dewatering on Shaft 1, we'll be going through a readiness review that's quite intensive. Activities do not start until readiness has been fully vetted and signed off by senior management. And whole points, as I mentioned, are integral to this process. Here's another example of our depth of planning and risk management. This particular example addresses the planning of activities for a component of our Phase 2 work as we'd access the 420 level. Included are hold points, regulatory information, and notification requirements, and the need for special team member qualifications. Another example includes hold points, regulatory communications requirements, technical assessment, and identification. Three simple examples, but all to reinforce that before we do something, we plan the work, and then we go out and execute that plan. The Cigar Lake Quality Management Program has been built and implemented based on Cameco's corporate system. We've increased our documentation, systems, procedures, and most importantly, put a clear management focus on full compliance and continued improvement. Our team members are actively engaged in review and improvement of our systems, procedures, and work instructions at the floor level where the work really takes place. So I'll go back. I said we have increased documentation, systems, and procedures. What's most important is the involvement of all of our team members, contractor, and employees in these, because the real work takes place when we put those into place. The Project Quality Management Program and its implementation were audited earlier this year by the CNSC and found to meet its expectations and showed, quote, significant improvement. Cameco has made a concerted effort to strengthen our technical understanding of the Cigar Lake deposit and the surrounding geology and hydrogeology since the inflow of 2006. This has included more than 18,000 meters of surface drilling, four geophysical surveys, interpretation and analysis of the information, and the integration of older information as well into updating our geologic data sets. Intensive work on hydrogeologic modeling has provided Cameco with a detailed groundwater model, supported by the measured values from testing and our actual inflows experienced. The correlation of all this information allows for improved mine planning and the identification and mitigation of potential inflow risk. With respect to mine strategy and design, our expanded technical knowledge that we've gained since 2006 is being combined with historical data from the past 20 years of project history in the development of a revised mining strategy and plan for the Cigar Lake project. Cameco has challenged the technical assumptions of the project. Cameco and third parties are involved in mine design and strategy process, which is incorporating learnings from MacArthur River Mine as well as from our other Cameco operations. And an example of work to date includes reassessment of our 465 level as part of our mine design. We've looked at design of the 480 level for freezing and production operations. We're looking at ore body freeze strategies and design updates, including potential surface and underground freeze alternatives, design changes to underground water management, design changes to enhance operational efficiency and effectiveness. Now, that plan is in process. We'll finalize the mine plan after the condition of the underground workings has been assessed as part of our remediation program. I stole a little bit from Dave because I think it's important to emphasize this. Water management is a priority at all of our Saskatchewan operations, and I very much underline what Dave has said with respect to its focus for us. We've incorporated in Cigar Lake's operations management systems, as with all of our operations, that address assessment and mitigation of inflow risk. And this includes incorporating the lessons learned, both from Cigar Lake, and those are hard-won lessons, as well as those from MacArthur River. Our systems as well include the broad awareness and training, corporate standards for water management and operating protocols, technical expertise and rigor, contingency preparedness. The water management strategy employed at Cigar Lake has been completely rebuilt following the inflow events of 2006 and 2008. Previously, Cigar Lake followed a strategy based on the watertight door usage on the 480 main level, and these doors were to be closed to protect the main infrastructure in case of unmanageable inflow. Our revised strategy is intended to ensure continued safe operation of the mine in the case of an inflow scenario. This will be achieved by assuring sufficient pumping, storage, water treatment, and release capacity to manage the inflow as predicted by our hydrogeologic model and allow remediation of the source at the source underground. Our system improvements include our underground sump capacity and drain lines. We've redesigned them as part of our mine plan so that we have greater capacity underground and greater ability to channel water. The mine dewatering capacity will grow in stages as remediation takes place. Today, we have 1,000 cubic meter per hour capacity installed in four borehole pumps. We're completing the addition of a fifth, so another 250 cubic meters per hour. And before normal mine development resumes, we will have a continuous capacity in place to remove a minimum of 1,900 cubic meters per hour. Water storage on surface totals over 100,000 cubic meters. And our water treatment capacity has been increased to over 2,500 cubic meters per hour. To increase treated water release capacity during dewatering, Cameco has secured regulatory approval to discharge treated effluent at rates up to 1,100 cubic meters per hour during non-routine events. Now, to provide further assurance for the long term, Cameco has initiated an environmental assessment of plans to discharge treated water at rates up to 3,000 cubic meters per hour. Under our proposed plan, the release point would move to a point in Suru Bay in Waterbury Lake, a system that already receives our treated water effluent. Subject to regulatory approval, we expect the new system to be commissioned to coincide with the installation of new pumping stations underground. Another layer of assurance with respect to water management is our inflow readiness and response planning and actions. Mine personnel working with our technical teams have identified possible inflow scenarios. They've also looked at plans to manage them in a safe and expeditious manner, and this is to manage them at source. Materials are already being ordered and assembled, and the teams are starting to work through contingency response exercises. Now, the work has been involved our mining contractors, our mine technical services personnel, our mine operations personnel. We've also been in contact and build on the lessons learned with MacArthur River, as well as our technical group in our Cameco corporate. Now, throughout all this work, as I mentioned, we've integrated the learnings from the Saskatchewan mine sites, and I think most importantly included the key team members who have to execute the work. With respect to the status of the project, in the Shaft 1 area, we have had a detailed plan in place that's being executed on the 420 level to address the abatement of that inflow feature and get us ready for dewatering and remediation. Backfilling is proceeding well on the east side of 420. As part of the program for remediation, you might have noticed in that drawing, and you would have seen it on the web earlier, that our plan was to use a remotely placed bulkhead. It's referred to as the bag or an ITS, an inflatable tunnel seal. That was placed several weeks ago by an ROV working with our team using cabling and winches put down the surface drill holes, and I'll show you some photos of that later. Well-executed job, well-planned. We're very proud of them, and it's a step forward. We've also installed, as I mentioned, an additional borehole pump as well within our remediation planning for Shaft 1. In the Shaft 2 side, dewatering remediation securing a shaft bottom was completed earlier this year. It was in May. Our engineering and planning for completion of the shaft is progressing very well, and it will be part of our remediation plans as we execute them in the future. Surface construction, we continue to focus our surface construction on specific high-priority jobs that position us both for remediation and necessary work that we need in place for our future. The projects are being well executed. They're successfully being commissioned. Our engineering design work is proceeding well, primarily in Saskatoon. This is progress across all facets of the remaining surface construction, underground process-related construction, as well as, I mentioned, our mine strategy and design. And on the regulatory side, our environmental assessment work, as I mentioned, is progressing well. And in addition, we're preparing and are prepared for our 2009 license renewal hearing that's coming up in November. I thought for the next several slides, I'd throw some photos up on the screen and we'll talk through them quickly to give you a sense of some of the work that has been going on and is going on at Cigar Lake. This slide captures a bit of historical information. As you can see on the upper left-hand side, a picture of the inflow and the rockfall that occurred back in October 2006. And as I mentioned, effectively you as the photographer are standing there looking at this. So it was very much something we knew where it was. I think it's also important to note that while the initial inrush of water had slowed, this is what an inflow looks like. And you can see the water coming. It's pouring over the top of the sandbags. There are some pipes into controlled drainage. But this is not a mass of water coming down. This is a controlled situation. And as we move forward with remediation, of course, onto the right-hand side, we placed a plug from surface through boreholes, eventually backfilled the rockfall, pressure grouted into the formation, and positioned ourselves for the dewatering that occurred in 2008. The lower left-hand slide just gives you a quick photo of Cigar Lake and the what I call the four igloos, ice fishing huts, are actually the tops on our four borehole pumps we installed, so they represent 1,000 cubic meters of capacity at that time. And now we have a fifth located just to the left-hand side of this one. And on the bottom right-hand side of the photo, when we entered shaft remediation and dewatering and starting on July 1 of 2008, one of the things we were doing as we progressed down the shaft was installing a ladderway to provide another means of egress in the shaft, and also installing, which is the very right-hand picture, pump skids. We were pulling out a slick line and replacing portions of that line with pump skids that will provide, once they're complete, another 300 cubic meters per hour of capacity. So that work was progressing well down to about the 300-meter level when we had the increase in water inflowing into the mine. I'd also note, when you look at those photos, that represents the dewatered shaft when you see the shaft walls and the pipes. Very clean. So stepping ahead a little bit into the future, towards the present, on this slide, again, we capture an image of one of the ROVs we used. We used three, actually, on the site. This is one of them. And for sense of scale, an ROV like this one you see in the screen here is about a meter by a meter and a half by about 2 meters long. So not that large. It's powered by small little motors, like a small submarine. I included a picture on the upper right-hand side. It's a snapshot from sonar. And the reason I included that is to emphasize that the ROV is our eyes, it's our arms, and it's our legs, and it was operating on the 420 level. Visibility, because of inflow, fine material in the water suspended, was very, very challenging. And many times the ROV crews used sonar to maneuver themselves around to be able to do what we had to do. And what we had to do on that area to prepare for the placement of the remotely placed bulkhead, or bag as we call it, and you can see a picture of it on the bottom. This is folded up on the left, and on the right-hand side is the large bag inflated with water during one of our post-manufacturing tests in the U.S. What it had to do was remove all the vent tubing, the piping, rock bolts that were hanging down, any materials that were in the way to ensure that when the bag was placed and inflated, we had a good seal. So this was all done by the ROV. Cutting, moving, manipulating equipment was all done by our ROV and our teams. We're now moving pretty close to present. This photo captures on the upper right. This is the what we call ITS-2 technically, or the bag being readied to come into the facility. And you can see it folded up on the bottom left, and on the bottom right, it's actually hanging in shaft one. Here's the crew readying to lower it down the shaft. When this was being lowered down the shaft, the ROV was already down the shaft, ready to be able to watch, because how we lowered it down was cabling down the shaft. The bottom of the bag was attached to another cable that went all the way down to 420, across the level, and up one of our drill holes, and we could pull on a winch truck on that one so we could manipulate it like a marionette. The other upper right-hand slide is what we call a hot stab. This went down first, and you can see in the photo what looks like a small little skid with a conical platform or conical shape on it. That's actually the hot stab, and what it does is it's hauled, again, by the ROV, positioned under one of the drill holes we drill from surface, and we're able to put a pipe down, or a coil tube down that drill hole, connect into this apparatus, and then through the hose you see the black hose coiled here, which is uncoiled by the ROV, connect that hose up to the bag, and then pump water and eventually pump grout into it. On surface, a challenging job, but not that difficult to do. Underwater with an ROV, out of sight, challenging, but very well executed. And, of course, to do all of that, we drilled from surface. About 10 drill holes were put in place down to the 420 level to allow us to place grout and backfill concrete, as well as to manipulate equipment and move pieces around by using winches and lines down the holes. And on the bottom right hand of this slide, you can see us actually pumping grout into the 420. This slide was taken last week, this photo, and we're currently still in this process of placing concrete and what we call squeezing into the area to seal off the area. Just quickly, not forgetting about shaft 2, even we quietly got on with business in shaft 2, and as you can see on the upper left-hand side, this is standing on the bottom of shaft 2 in April of 2009. In order to get there, as we well know, shaft 2 was flooded as a result of water coming in through a standpipe. We had to seal that standpipe, again, using remote vehicle technology. We tremied grout into it. We then tested the shaft, felt we were comfortable, but we wanted an added level of assurance, so we added what's called an overshot, and in this photo on the bottom left, there's what looks like a rusty cylinder in the center on top of a standpipe. That's actually an overshot. It's another added level of assurance. It's like a drill chuck. When you tighten your home drill up, it comes down and seals on top of the standpipe. We put that on there, and we proceeded to dewater the shaft. We then went in and drilled off all the standpipes, grouted them, put valves on, and secured the bottom of the shaft. We pulled out equipment. As you can see on the upper right-hand side, there's some grout equipment that was there underwater for the couple of years. Pulled it out, and within a shift, returned it to underground work on the bottom of the shaft in the bottom of the right-hand picture you can see, and we used it for grouting off the standpipe holes. So again, perhaps an indication of the condition of some of the equipment underground. So that's where we are today. Looking ahead, we're preparing for the dewatering of Shaft 1. We'd expect to be in a position to do that by the end of 2009. Following dewatering and completing the remediation of Shaft 1 that was interrupted last August, we'll re-enter the underground to secure and assess the mine. Once the mine's secured, work to restore underground mine services and facilities will begin. And this will be followed by normal mine development and underground construction. Completion of Shaft 2 will be integrated as well into that work package throughout the entire remediation program. Now, lastly, in terms of looking ahead, Cameco has applied to the CNSC, and a hearing has been set for November 6 for a renewal of our Cigar Lake construction license. We've requested a four-year license term to allow us to complete mine remediation and resume normal mine development activities. So in summary, Cigar Lake has carried out all remediation activities without significant safety, health, or environmental incident. We've taken a hands-on, active approach to fostering a positive and strengthening safety culture, and we've delivered real results in that area. We've increased our diligence and risk assessment in our planning, assessing, and most importantly, how we execute activities. We've reinforced our execution capabilities. We've added rigor to our implementation across the entire team. That's not just Cameco, but through our contractors as well. We've improved our governance, our quality management. We strengthen our foundation of geoscience and geotechnical competence. We've taken steps to and action to position the project for long-term water management success. And we've worked hard to, and I believe we have improved our relationships with both our regulators and our stakeholders. And as I wrote on here, we've got runs on the board. As a final thought to leave you with, everything we do in the Cigar Lake project is based on assurance of success. You may have seen that through many of the slides that I've showed so far, sometimes in a corner, sometimes hidden off to the side, but it's a mantra that we live by now. And I like to think of assurance as being different from insurance. Insurance is something you call upon after something's gone wrong. Assurance is about planning for success and then executing that work for success. And that's what we do at Cigar Lake Project. I look forward to answering any questions you have now and certainly later when we get together for dinner. There's lots of time to go over some details and share a few stories about the work that's been going on. The team is an exciting team at Cigar Lake. They have the challenges they face. There's no doubt about it. We know that. But they're a passionate, stubborn bunch of people who are innovative, creative, and are looking forward to bringing the project into production. Thank you.